Praise the Lord. I am utterly, I cannot tell you how stirred and excited I am. You know, there's a lot of, these are interesting times that we're living in, interesting times that have come upon the church, that have come upon the people, you know, and today we're going to be talking, actually today's message is called Preparing for Great Things. I forgot to send Caleb the scriptures, so you're going to have to just kind of follow along, or he's going to post them as best he can or whatever, but preparing for great things. And what we're going to be talking about is how we receive the church, how we look at the church, how at all these things. And these, you know, this is some stuff that God really started dealing with my heart on. You know, I hope, like me, that you have, in this time period, that you have been doing some soul searching, that you have been doing some looking inwardly and not just looking outwardly. You know, one of the things that outward distraction will cause us to do, praise the Lord, one of the things that outward distraction will cause us to do is look everywhere other than where we're supposed to. Yeah. Amen? Outward distraction always brings our mind off the things that we should be on and takes it to the things it shouldn't be on. Amen? And so this is why the devil loves things like offense. He loves things like, you know, iPhones. He loves things like, you know, Facebook. He loves things. The devil loves things like this because it's very easy through these methods to get people to look into another area. And see, when we look into other areas, we never look in. We stop looking inwardly. And when we stop looking inwardly, we stop being able to correct the things that we can correct, because you can't correct me. And God has taught me very well, and you've taught me very well, that I can't correct you. Praise the Lord. That God is going to correct you, that we're going to give the word, but the word should be the correction. Amen. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a good thing, but because it's better when the correction comes from God. When the correction comes from the word, amen. But we have to learn to look at things right, amen. We have to know that, you know, there's a lot of decisions that will be made in our life that we won't have any say in. But that doesn't mean that we have a say in them. Just because we're Americans, we don't, amen. You know, I've talked about this many times, you know, and I know that there's people even in this church, and you may not know that I know, but there's people even in this church that don't agree with some of the decisions I've made. They don't agree that I've decided to close a church. They don't agree that with things like that. I've heard things that have led me to see that, but I've also heard things in the spirit, and so I know that's there. And I'm not blaming people. If you have, if you have disagreements with me, I'm not necessarily blaming you for disagreeing with me. What I will tell you, though, is what's important is not that you disagree. What's important is that you act rightly. Amen. I've said many times, the Lord revealed this to me years ago, and it's so true, that it doesn't matter as much to us as matter as much as how we respond to it. Our response to things is what always matters. Our response to the word, our response to trial, our response to the opposition, all these things, our response is what matters. See, the one thing that makes us, that does not make us unique is trial, is opposition, is persecution. All these things will come on people. They'll come on people in different ways. You will have certainly seen things in your life that I haven't seen, and I will certainly have seen things in my life that you haven't seen, and I will have different point of view based on things that I've seen, and you'll have different points of view based on what you've seen or things that have happened to you. But one thing that can bring us together, one thing that can make us unique, is how we respond to it. This world, and especially our society, this country, is a country that is hell-bent on doing things not God's way. And we have seen this very clearly in the past, the past few weeks, even, you know, as lawlessness begets lawlessness. One level of lawlessness to another level of lawlessness. You know, one person does something wrong, and so people respond wrong. And so why do I talk about this? Why do I bring these things up? Because we are the people of truth. Yeah. Amen? The Bible says that we've been given the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. And we are told in the Bible several times that Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And so if we are people who embrace lies, if we embrace things that are not truth, then we will be deceived. In fact, you want me to share something with you? The Lord shared with me this morning. This is what I heard in my spirit. One will see so much more clearly when they are not involved in it. This is why we must transform our minds, and why, if we don't, in any area, we will be overtaken by misconception or deception. We will be overtaken by it. Amen? When we are involved in something, it is so much easier to have an opinion on it, isn't it? There's a lot of things that have been divided by racial lines, it seems, especially in these last few weeks. And listen, some of the things that have happened have not been good. They've been very bad. The things that caused this were very bad things. I will say that very boldly. But I'm going to also tell you that the most of the response to it has also been very bad. The things that people are saying, the things that people are doing. You know, I've seen Christians that have said things that aren't right. Black Christians have said things that aren't right. White Christians that have said things that aren't right. We've seen Christians say things that are not based in the Word of God. And so by doing so, what they're doing is they're embracing a lack of truth or a false truth or a lie, if we want to call it that, deception, and they're being deceived. And once you embrace some kind of deception, it's not hard to start embracing other deception. Now, that's not my message, praise the Lord, but, we are talking about the church, and it's important that we look at the church right, and one of the things that the Lord has dealt with me over and over, I'm just going to tell you right now, the coronavirus didn't close the church, I believe God did, and a lot of people might not like that I said that, but I believe that it's true, and I'll tell you why I believe it's true, because when I look around and I look at Christianity, I see a Christianity that does not respect the things of God. And whenever we see in the Bible that the people of God did not respect the things of God, he shut them down. I said, he shut them down. He pulled his blessing away. And you don't believe me? Just go back to look at the children of Israel. He delivered them out of Egypt. And those same people that he delivered out of Egypt, because they didn't honor and respect the things of God, he said, you will not enter the land that I promised you. You will not enter it. And you will not enter because of the decisions that you have made. Decisions to disrespect the things of God. And so now I'm just going to, forgive me if I preach boldly today. Forgive me if I preach boldly going forward. Because I've learned this, and I've learned this truth, and I'm just going to tell you that I can't go forward doing it any other way. But I am not going to hold back. I'm not going to not say things, because some people might not like them. I know that there is a chance that I could lose some of my church, even at some of the things that I've preached and some of the things that I will continue to preach. But I'm going to tell you, the world is done with a weak church. And the weak church has caused a lot of damage, praise the Lord. We need to look at the church right. It's true, the local church building is not the church. This is a true statement. But people are using this statement wrong. They have been saying, the church is not the building. The church has left the building. I saw t-shirts, the church has left the building, as though it's some kind of badge of honor to say that, well, we're not the building. But I'm going to tell you something about the building. The early church did not have the building. They were not blessed with air-conditioned and heated buildings. They were not blessed to stay out of the rain. They had church wherever they had to. And some people refer back to that and say, that's where we need to go, back to Egypt. But I'm going to tell you something about this. The church building is a blessing of God. The fact that we can come together, that we can come into a place and be safe, a place that we can come in and be comfortable and receive the things of God. And these are the things respected. People look at the church and they say, well, we don't need those fancy buildings. We don't need a place that honors God. We don't need a place to come together. Yes, you do. This is a representation. This building right here, I'll tell you what this building represents. This represents everything that God wants to do in this town. This represents everything that God wants to do in your life, because God does things through a group of people. That's the church. You're right. But where the church gathers is the representation. It is the place where God gathers.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. This is a gift of God. And we can't reject these things and say, well, the church building, it doesn't matter. You're a fool if you believe so. You're a fool if you believe so. Forgive me for the boldness, but it's just the truth. The church building does matter because it's a gift of God. See, when somebody gives you a gift, how awful would it be if you gave somebody a gift and you spent all these, and people sacrificed to have that gift. And you gave them the gift, and then they took that person took the gift and said, it doesn't matter to me. This isn't important anyways. This is just stuff. I don't care about that. It's just stuff. Now, let me tell you, every material thing you have doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. But if I spent time making you something, and I spent time and I poured my heart and my soul into making you some blood and tears to give you something, and you just take it, I'll tell you, I'd be offended if you threw it aside. Well, you think God isn't. You think God isn't. When the church just says, it doesn't matter. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It represents the ease which he wanted us to be able to receive. It would be easy to not come to church in times like these. It's easy to not come to church. I'm just going to tell you the truth right now. It's not a hard decision to say, I'm not going to go today. It's not a hard decision to say, you know what, I'd rather do something else. It's not a hard decision to say, you know what, I don't want to get dressed up to come in. It's not a hard decision to say, I just want to sit in my couch and watch it online. But that's not the will of God. And by the way, if you're tuning in online, I don't know if you know, but we opened church today. Glory to God. And we did that just a few minutes ago. Praise the Lord. So you didn't miss out completely on something. Praise the Lord. But if you want next week, you're welcome to come. Glory to God. Or if you can get down here real quick, come on in right now. But praise the Lord, just in case you didn't know. But anyway, you know, it's easy to sit behind a computer or sit on a phone or to do it in your time. But it means something when we, it means something to God when we say, you know something, I'm gonna step up and I'm gonna get up earlier than I usually do. I'm gonna make sure, because the appointment here, when you recognize that your appointment here is appointment with the Lord himself, then it'll make a difference in your life. See, people want God to work for them, but they won't even show up to church or show up to church on time or all these things. They come into church kind of lackadaisical, like this place is just a place, oh, we go hear pastor speak. If you believe that this is a place you just can't come hear me speak, well, you're in trouble. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. This church is a building, but the building is a representation of God bringing us together. Amen. And we're going to see that here today as we get into scripture, and I know you want that. Now, I'm not hammering on things because I want you to feel bad. I certainly don't. If there's ever anything that we preach in this pulpit that is corrective, the point is to try to build people up and take them higher. And you're going to see that here in the Word, because my number one job as a pastor is not to comfort you. My number one job as a pastor is to help you be perfected. Amen. And my number one job of my pastor is to perfect me. And I've recognized that. So we have to understand these things. Amen. But we're going to get into some stuff here that really matters. Turn with me to Ephesians 4:11. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was going to make an announcement to the people online. I was just telling you, to tell you the truth, I couldn't in good conscience keep the church closed any longer. I couldn't do it when so many in the world, you know, and that's another thing, even in our community. You know, it was parts of our community anyways that had lashed out against us. But our community, as I drive around, I see, on Memorial Day, we drove around and we saw party after party after party, even government officials having parties, and nobody was social distancing, nobody was wearing masks, nobody was doing any of these things. And you know what? It was time. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:11. Now, these are important scriptures and more important than we even realize. And I'm just going to tell you the truth that this is quite possibly, I know I've said this before, but this could be potentially the most important message I ever preach. And so if you listen to it from that standpoint, I think you'll get something out of it. Amen. But you can do just the opposite. And I'm just going to tell you how you come to church matters. Praise the Lord. When I was talking about that respect and that honor, how you come in matters. If you come in offended, you will leave offended. If you come in rejecting, you will leave rejecting. You will never get anything. And so it's up to us to change how we are. Either God has set you here or he has not. And if he has set you here, then there is something for you to receive every single time. Amen. Praise the Lord. It says, and he himself, I love it that it says he himself here. Ephesians 4:11, Jesus himself, one of the first things that he did after ascending, praise the Lord, after paying the price on the cross, one of the first, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Amen. Verse 12, for a purpose, for the equipping of the saints, for a purpose, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, the word ministry there, you know, when I talk about ministry often, if I mention ministry, what you're going to think of, or what Christians will think of, is to think, well, a minister, a pastor is a minister. And so it's a ministry. Family Church Mayville is a ministry. Family Church Jamestown, a ministry. You know, Family Church International, a ministry. If there's somebody who goes to another shore, somebody who goes to another country to take the word of God there, it's a ministry. Amen? And so often we forget that we are part of the ministry. That we aren't separate. And see, somewhere along the line, Christians have stopped looking at themselves as part of what God is doing, as part of the ministry, and they have started realizing or thinking that the ministry is separate from themselves, just as the church is separate from them, just as the pastor is separate from them, and all these things. They forget that these things are intertwined, and there's a power, there's a ability, there's something God was doing in our midst. Amen. And so God has brought these things together. He has created the ministry. Christianity is not just a faith. It is a ministry. In fact, if there is no ministry in your life, I got to ask if you're really even a Christian. Why? Because the Bible tells us that without works, your faith is dead. It doesn't exist. If you don't do, he said, you are saved for good works. That's a little later in Ephesians, or actually earlier in Ephesians 2, he tells us you have been saved for good works. We have been saved for a purpose. If we're doing nothing with that purpose, we're doing nothing, and we have to ask ourselves, are we even that thing? Christianity is a ministry. We cannot lose sight of this. Amen? As a Christian, you are a minister of the gospel, not the same way that I am, but you are still a minister. That word ministry literally means of those who by the command of God proclaim and promote religion among men. I will not reach most of the people out there because I can't. Just as you can't reach most of the people out there. But as a body, we will reach plenty of people because that's what we're called to do. When we take what we've learned, the purpose of church is to instill in God's people the ability, the knowledge, the wisdom to go out into the world, teach them about God. You are supposed to take the goodness of God from here and proclaim it out there. It's not my job to proclaim to the world. It's my job to proclaim to you. It's your job to proclaim it to the world. So the ministry is not just about me. It's not just about my wife or my family. It's about all of us. If we are a Christian, we are tied to ministry. Amen? Because that's exactly what we are supposed to do. You know, if you could say that you minister, a mom ministers to a child, a sick child, when they bring them, you know, chicken noodle soup when they're not feeling well, and they bring them tea. You know, my mom used to give me tea with honey and lemon, you know, when if my throat was bothering me or something like that. That was a ministering to me. It's like you're doing something. In fact, as I read, praise the Lord, as I read in Mark chapter 10, you know, Jesus there that we are all called to serve, that we're called to serve people, that we're called to this thing. But somewhere along the lines, Christianity has just become a self-help group. That's what it's become. Look at what the churches are preaching. Churches in the look at what they're preaching. Self-help. They produce self-help books. This is how you can be a better you. This is how to make your life better. It is not about just your life. Your life will be better when you do the work of the Lord. It will be better. And if your life is not better, it's because you're not doing enough of the work of the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is what we're called to. We are called to run with the vision that God has put in our midst. Amen. This came to me this week, and so I wrote it down and I quoted it because this came to my spirit. So if you don't mind, I'll read it to you. If we look at church service as just coming to a place to hear someone speak, we will miss what God is trying to accomplish in us. Come to church as if you were coming to a Bible study with Jesus. Believe, confess, and prepare as one who God is about to instruct about their life. Pay close attention to the scriptures used. Write them down. Go back to them throughout your week. Memorize them. Speak them. Share them. Do what you must to heed them. As you do, God will guide you and direct you. You will find the peace in the answers you seek in life. People who don't have peace in their lives are people who have not embraced this concept. Peace didn't come to my life until I embraced the idea that God had planted me somewhere and he had planted somebody in my midst to speak to my life, to change my life, to help me. Glory to God. But it is not about self-help. Praise the Lord. So many people, they perceive the house of God as a place where they come get what they need. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't come get what they need. You should, because as part of this, we get what we need. But the focus of Christianity become, what do you need? I can preach a message about how God wants to make you rich and have everybody in this church standing on their seats, getting shouting and getting excited. But we can talk about repentance. We can talk about serving. We can talk about helping other people, and people are silent. Yeah. They give you looks. You know, the thing is, God has called us to be more than just people who are getting. In fact, the whole purpose of the Bible is to reach people. That's the whole purpose of all of this. We got to ask ourselves, are we reaching those around us? And listen, there's plenty of us that are. There's plenty of us that aren't. But in the body, but the thing that I'm talking, and I'm not just talking about this church, but I'm talking about the winds of doctrines that have gone through Christianity, the extreme grace where it's all about God doing nice things for you. Do you know what I'm talking about? Actually, the Bible calls that perverted grace. Yes. Where people are just constantly, oh, you know, when we're always just dragging ourselves into church and just trying to get the answers we need, and we're just dragging through life, that's not Christianity. If that's the way you're living, you're not living as a Christian. That's the first clue that you're not living as a Christian, because you are dragging. You don't drag. If you are dragging, it's because you haven't connected the dots somewhere. And part of the problem is because, you know, as ministers, we're always seeking what people need. And some people have gone overboard with that, where they preach, they just preach over and over and over and over again about prosperity. Yes, God wants us prosperous. God doesn't want you poor and broke and defeated. He doesn't. But if your focus is that, you'll never have it God's way. You can make it your own. You'll never have what God has for you. If your focus is about how you can always get better, think about what the focus of your life is. And you can answer a lot of the questions on your own. What is the focus of your been? What is the focus of the last? Have you been desiring to come back into church? Many have, many haven't. But even ask yourself that. Why have I been desiring to get back there? Because I need it? Or have I been desiring to get back there? You know what I have a pastor, as I have been watching? As I've been watching. Been talking to people, and I watch the fact that people haven't been sitting in services, and I see them hurt one week after the other. Do you know how my heart breaks for people? My heart literally, like, as I hear about people's struggles and the things, and just to know that if they could just sit in the service and hear the word, when I hear about marriages in trouble, you don't think that my heart doesn't break? Of course it does. But the answer is always the same. Amen. The answer is God. It was always right here. Praise the Lord. God wants help us. But when we come into church casual, and when I mean casual, I don't mean, you know, well, if you, I came into church in jeans today, is that what you're talking? That's not what I'm talking about. Listen, I'm talking about coming into church with a mentality that it's just another thing, that it's just another thing. Praise the Lord. As ministers, we have had to spend more time teaching a self-preservation form of the gospel because the church is not doing the word. Listen, the word is the truth. And so if you do it, you'll be blessed. If you don't, you won't. That's all there is to it. What do we teach, though? We have to continually teach people, just do the word. Just do the word. Just come to church. Why do I have to tell Christians to just come to church? Why do I have to do that? Why can you not see, after being here for a few months, that this is necessary for life? If you don't believe this is necessary for life, then while is a waste of your time. It is, because you're just rejecting it. You're coming in with a casual attitude. I can take it or leave it. Well, if you can take or leave what God has for you, then he doesn't have anything for you. He will withhold it from you. The Bible says he withholds no good thing. We love that part, but we always forget the other one. To those who walk uprightly. To those who love his word. To those, God's word. The Bible tells us over and over things like, well, if you embrace his word, you'll be blessed. If you love his word, if you love the things he says to you, if you love correction, you'll be blessed. But if you hate correction, you'll go without. If you hate being told that you're wrong, that's pride. That's what it is. But yet so many, I can point to people that were parts of the family, were really faithful in one part because of pride, didn't want to be told what they were to do. So he let his family raid on out. And how many of them serve God today? Have gone through the family. I've seen this happen over and over, not just in our church. Yeah, come up to the light. They started getting blessed and they walk away. And you watch the blessings just phew. It's not because God's pulling them back. He can't pour them out. And the devil's coming to steal them. Listen, the only way the devil can get through to your life is if you have either you allow him to, or you have done things in your life that allow him to. That's the only way the devil gets through to you. Because there is a protection of God for the people of God who love his word. Listen, I'm not perfect in what I do. There are certainly times where the devil gets through. But I'm going to tell you the truth. There is also a truth that God always comes through for me. that I always get through to the other side, that I always have a breakthrough, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Why is that? Because I'm so special. It has nothing to do with my specialness, even though I am. Praise the Lord. It has everything to do. It has everything. See, I love that. I miss that so much. I miss that. Because I can't tell if you're laughing out there or not. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But, it's because there's a desire in me to be right. My wife and I were talking about this. There's many things I do wrong, but one thing I do right is that I desire to be right before the Lord. I desire to be right as a pastor. I desire to be right as a husband, as a father. I desire to be right as a friend, as a neighbor. I desire to be a right Christian. But that's lost on Christians today. The desire to be right. They're looking for justification of how I can. Well, I gotta figure out a way in Scripture that I can drink. I want to be able to make sure I go sin and still be okay with it instead of looking at it and just saying, wait a minute. Why would I want something lesser and give up something greater? Praise the Lord. I mean, it's just The fastest growing churches today are the ones that teach extreme grace. The message that we preach is not always easy. There is a lot of people that have left us because of the message that we preach. Do you know the Corey Church at one point was 4 times the size that it is right now? But I can tell you, I know that it's not, that those that were even, that were there even for a year aren't still there, is because they didn't like what was being preached. They didn't like the truth of the word. And I know this because things were brought to me and questions were asked to me and they never settled them in their heart. This is the word of God. We preach the word of God, whether you like it or not, that's what we preach. I don't make this stuff up. I don't, like in my natural flesh, you think it was me that came up with the, well, you know what, it's wrong to smoke pot. I used to love smoking pot. It was like one of my greatest pleasures in life when I was a sinner. I loved doing it. I didn't want to quit. I quit because it was wrong. I quit because the word corrected me on it. Well, praise God, I'm not standing here today. I mean, when I was out fornicating, I liked fornicating, but it was wrong. When I was out doing all the other things I was doing, I enjoyed doing them. But they were wrong, and they were destroying my life. Most people, I mean, you'll look at parties, and people get deceived because they look at people having a party or at a bar. Woo, they're having a great time. They're getting loose. They're getting free. You have adults talking about it like it's such a great, wonderful thing, right? I mean, alcohol is in our face everywhere. Praise the Lord. I mean, it's everywhere. You look on TV, it's, we're promoting it here. We're promoting it here. Let's get nuts. Let's do this. Let's get nuts. Let's get out of our heads. And the Bible has always called us to be sober-minded. Praise the Lord. Why? Because it's in sobriety that you can hear from God. You can't hear from God in a lack of sobriety. I was hearing from spirits, but they weren't the Spirit of God. I'm just telling you the truth. I had lots of things happen to me when I wasn't serving God. Lots of spiritual things. Praise the Lord. Bob Marley had lots of spiritual experiences. But that doesn't mean he's sitting next to Jesus right now, because I guarantee you he's not. Ooh, ouch. You just judge? No, I just judged his life. I mean, I looked at it. It's obvious. Praise the Lord. You cannot reject Jesus. You cannot reject his way and yet still have the things that he has for you. Praise God. So, you know, we look back there at, I want to go back there to Ephesians 4:12. It says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Notice it didn't say for the edifying of the individuals in the body of Christ. It didn't say for the edifying of the arms in Christ. It didn't say for the edifying of the legs in Christ. Which part are you? I don't know. You might be the legs. You might be the arms. You might be the butt. I don't know what you are in the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. That's between you and God. You guys figure that out. But you're still part of the body. That part wasn't edified alone. God wanted to edify the body together. He wanted to bring us together. And so he gave us the house. And now his people are running around saying, well, that's not from God anyways. That's not God anyways. Well, yes, it is of God. He gave it to us to bless us. I mean, it's so foolish. Have you ever seen us? Oh, that's what we are. American Christians are spoiled children. Like, we talk about lack, but there's nobody in this country that lacks. There is nobody in this country that truly lacks. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, how can you even say that? I know this prayer. I know that. Listen, there are so many government programs. There are so many things that can get you something in this country Praise the Lord. When you look at someone who really lacks, go to a third world country, come back and then talk to me. But until you've seen third world poverty, which I actually have, until you've seen third world poverty, do not talk to me about poverty because you have no idea. You're speaking out of your own ideas of how things are. Well, because somebody couldn't afford two cars, well, they're obviously poor. I mean, you have no idea what you're talking about. You know, people talking about being oppressed, and I'm not referring to, you know, certain races and stuff like that, but I'm just talking about in general. People talking about being oppressed in life, they have no idea what they're being oppressed, they have no idea what oppression even is. I mean, for God's sakes, we look at, anybody can look at the world today and they say, well, you know, these people are such a bunch of lilies. What happened to the, you know, you look at the World War II people, they come back from World War II and they built this nation, and I just think back to those people and I think, man, how they would look at us today, and they would probably shake their heads, and some other of the families would probably shake their heads and start all thinking, they really gave their life for this? This is what you gave your life for? So people can tear apart America? And you know why that's happening, by the way? Because the church has been silence. Yeah, what happens when you quiet down the church? The power of God goes down, and guess what comes up? Sin and lawlessness. Why do you think those things are there? Because people have rejected the word. They've rejected God. Amen. Luke 18:8 says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he truly find faith on the earth? People are like, I have so much faith that I have this car or I have this house. That's not faith. Faith isn't that. That's not what faith is. Faith is an all-encompassing thing. Faith is what you think of God, how you believe of God, how you trust God. That's what faith is. It has nothing to do with what you drive or how healthy you are or any of those things. Those are byproducts of living in faith, but those things have nothing to do with faith in God. Faith in God is just that you trust God. You know how we know we trust God? Because when the heat gets turned up, when all of a sudden you lose your job, when all of a sudden you lose your house, all of a sudden things start getting taken away from you and you start looking like, well, I guess it didn't work. Faith in God says, it doesn't matter what it looks like now because it's coming back around for me better. I said, it's coming back around better. Faith in God doesn't quit when things get hard. That's when faith in God lights up and says, whoo, hang on, we're going for a ride now, folks. Praise the Lord. That's what faith in God is. And so that's what we need to get in us is true faith in God. We got to get back to the basics. We got to get back to focusing on, oh, how can I just pay this bill? I mean, I've had it up to here with hearing Christians saying, oh, I'm believing for this and I'm believing that. Just believe God, you'll have all you need. If you just trust God, you won't lack, you won't go without, you'll go through every single time because God always comes through from those who truly trust him, who truly love him. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, I'm going to tell you, folks, if that isn't true, then the rest of this isn't true. You might as well burn it or throw it in the garbage because it'd be worthless. If he has left us or forsaken us, it's not true. You can't believe any of it, but it's not true. He's never left us. He's never forsaken us. That means he has never left us helpless. He has never left us without. It may have felt that way, but if you get your focus off the truth and on things that aren't truth, that's what you will believe. And that's why Christians fail, because they stop believing the truth that says, no matter what the world looks like, my God will always come through. My God will always supply. My God will always take me through to the other side. Always, because he is my God. Hallelujah. You have to know who the God of the Bible is. Caleb and Joshua, if you don't know, Caleb and Joshua knew who their God was. He said, it doesn't matter what the trials look like. We are well able to overcome it. We have been prepared for this moment. We have been set up for this moment. He has brought us this far. He is not going to leave us now. He will take us through to the other side. But the church has to say something. The church has to know something. The church has to change. The church has to stop being so self-preservation. Me. I'm sad today. Well, you know what? I'm sad today too, but it doesn't really do you much good to be sad, does it? So you're either going to continue on with God. I felt some of the worst pressure in my life, even this week, and I'm going to tell you the truth. The one thing I knew is that if I quit, it's all over. And so what am I going to do? Not quit. I'm going to push through again because I don't have any other option. And it doesn't always feel good. I'm not going to say that it always feels good. But there's a lot of things in life that don't always feel good. Praise the Lord. Childbirth doesn't feel good, I'm told. Never experienced it. I've experienced watching it. And it didn't look like it felt good. I'm just going to tell you the truth. But we still got babies, don't we? And we're still blessed by babies, aren't we? Praise the Lord. Even the bigger babies, we're blessed by them. Amen. Even the biggest baby, you're still blessed. Amen. Glory to God. Well, we can continue on Ephesians 4:13. So this is what the equipping is for. Till we all come to a unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. The knowledge is not just the knowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. If that's what it meant, it would have said that. It says the knowledge of the Son of God. There is knowledge that comes from knowing the Son of God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. There are things that you can't know unless you know the Son of God. There are answers you'll never have unless you know the Son of God. And if you reject the very premise of what he wrote about himself, then you will reject that. You'll never get into that deeper knowledge. Because if you reject the word, what you're saying is Jesus was called the word. This is the word of God, and Jesus was called the word. There's a reason for this. He was saying, this is so important to me, so important to me what I'm saying, that I'm going to call my son the very word of God. It's because he's the God is. And our words, as we are taught in scripture, is the embodiment of what we believe and who we are. You know what a person is by what they say over and over and over. You know a person struggles by what they say over and over and over. You know a person strikes by what they say over and over and over. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. You tell a lot about a person by what they say. Yeah. That's why the Bible says be slow to speak, quick to hear. Amen? Because when we're quick to hear, we learn something. Amen? Praise the Lord. But you know, I've had people come to me that have wanted to get counseling. Even after I've said this before, I'll say it again, but people might still not listen. People come to me and they want to get help. They want to get counseling. And then they sit there and talk to me and just tell me and tell me and tell me and tell me. They don't ever stop telling me what's bad and never give me a chance to even tell them what's good. And those are people that don't want help because they don't listen. We need to be quick to listen. We need to be fast to listen. Hallelujah. If we're not quick to listen, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. This is just the way it is, guys. Even in the old times, they had babies that would cry and stuff like that. It's all good. Praise the Lord. Praise God for mamas. Praise the Lord. I'm not trying to bring attention to anything, but I'm just saying, you know, it's the truth. It's part of life, right? Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. So we need to be quick to listen. We need to hear what God is saying to us because there's knowledge in what God says. You know, there's people that have come to us and said, you know, they started laying it out. And I said, okay, well, this is what you're going to do. And then they said, well, but, you know, this and that. And then they start giving you reasons why it's not going to work. Well, listen, if you're going to start giving reasons why it's not going to work, then what I'm saying to you is you're wasting both of our time. What it really is sometimes people just come to people because they want to dump on you. Recognize those who are just trying to dump on you. If someone is just dumping on you, shut it off. I'm just telling you, it's not wrong. Shut it off because you're not somebody else's toilet. Right? Just shut it off. Say, if you're not going to listen, I have no more to say because I can't help you. And I'm not going to take on your problems on top of mine. Amen. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, this is what God is trying to bring us to. They said, no man's perfect. Well, that's what God is trying to do in you. He's trying to perfect you. He's trying to make you perfect. That's pretty good. I think that's pretty good. That's a new idea. Praise the Lord. Everybody's like, oh, we're not perfect. So give you excuses why you're not perfect, why you can't. Well, God didn't create you to be perfect in that sense, but he wants to perfect you. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Listen, people can come up with all kinds of, oh, praise the Lord. They can come up with all kinds of ways, all kinds of things, all kinds of ideas of what church should be. But if you get back to the word, it's always simple. You go back to the word. You can ask my wife. You can ask those who know me closest. One of the conversations I have, one of the most uncomfortable conversations I have sometimes with my pastor is when I go to him and I say, why do we do this? Show me in the word. Yeah, because I don't want to do it if it's not in the word. I don't want to have this experience if it's not in the Word. Now, you understand there will be things sometimes, God will do things sometimes in a slightly different method, but the principle will always be in the Word. So if we're doing something, let's be doing it because of the Word. Yep. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 and verse 3. We're going to read through verse 6. This, of course, is talking about Jesus. This is a prophecy from the prophet Isaiah about the coming Messiah. But look what they said about Jesus here. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted. And we hid, as it were, our face from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone away, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Folks, the church is at this point again, where they've gone astray, they've turned to their own way. What pleases me? What do I need in life? What do I want out of life? What should my life look like? What do I want to do? I would rather be on the boat than to be standing here talking to you all. I'll just be honest with you. Every Saturday night when I'm heading down to Corey and I see people out having fires and picnics, the last thing I want to be doing is heading down to Corey. But we follow the plans of God. We do what God has directed us to do. Do we turn to our own way? Do we always turn to it? That doesn't mean you can't ever have your way. It doesn't mean you can't ever enjoy life. We certainly do. Praise the Lord. I don't sacrifice life enjoyment completely. It doesn't mean that I can't, you know, and some people have gotten this idea that ministers, for some reason, they get, I'll just tell you the truth. I'm going to, praise the Lord. There's people that if we get blessed, there's people in our own congregations that will look at us and they will get offended. Because we serve God and we get blessed. And people say, well, why don't I have that in their own heart? They get offended. Well, why should you have that? Or why should you have that? You'll wonder why pastors sometimes want to have quiet lives or because people are constantly looking at us saying, you don't need all that. And yet they just heap on themselves and heap on themselves. They can't even show up to church. And yet they look at us and say, you shouldn't have that. You want to come walk an hour in my life? You want to come see what I do? And I'm not saying that to try to be like, oh, I'm some kind of martyr, because I'm certainly not. Because compared to what Jesus did, and we read it right here, I haven't done nothing. I haven't given up anything compared to what. My life should resemble his life. But that doesn't mean God won't bless me. But just because you don't want to do the Word and you won't be blessed because of it, don't look at my life and say, I shouldn't be, because I do the Word. Yeah. You know, but that's the way people are. People are so busy looking at every. Listen, if you are judging, if you're constantly looking at other people and what they're doing and saying, this isn't right, and this isn't right, and this isn't right, and this isn't right, and I think they should do it this way, and I think that they should do it this way, I'm just telling you the truth. You're falling right into that trap. You're falling right into that place of constantly looking. Although, listen, if you serve God, it doesn't matter. Listen, King David served Saul. Saul was an evil man. But King David served him because that's where God called him to be. Yeah. And King David couldn't even speak against Saul without being smitten in his heart by it. Couldn't even so much as say one word. He had every word. King Saul was trying to kill David. Yeah. This is the man that he served. But God said, I will not raise a hand against the Lord's anointed. Yeah. And yet people at ministers all the time, they say, well, look at what this minister's doing. That's not right. Who are you to decide? You have no place to decide whether or not God's servant is doing right. You have only place to decide whether or not you are doing right. And I'm just telling you right now, I'm fed up with it because it's Facebook world. that we live in feels that they have a right to judge what every church is saying. And you know what they're saying? They're saying ours has no purpose to be here. And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes it seems like there is no purpose to it, because when you tell people the truth and they reject it and reject it and reject it, and the lies fall apart, and then people out there come back and blame you for it. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm fired up today. But I'm not fired up because I'm mad at people. I'm fired up because I'm mad at the devil. And I won't stand in a pulpit anymore and let the devil walk over what God is doing. I won't do it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I might be nice to your face, but you get me preaching about the truth. I'm just telling you, we don't have a place for that. Because what am I saying? Am I saying that a minister, there's certainly ministries out there that are off, that are preaching true things that aren't true. They're out there soaking money out of people. Is that your place to come against them? No. Your place is to embrace the truth and embrace love. Embrace the thing God has called you to and to follow in line with that. Praise the Lord. People talk about rights. The church is not about rights. Everybody's bringing up, well, it's our First Amendment right. This isn't about a First Amendment right. Praise the Lord. Because rights are something that people determine one day are there, one day or not. It's not the church, and I'm going to tell you what's happened in these last few months. The church is not essential to this country because the church has not been essential to the people who are called the church. Because people take it or leave it. And I'm going to say something real bold. If you're out there and you are lackadaisical going to church, it's your fault. Yes. It's people like you. You need to change. It's time to repent. There's the boldness. If you can leave it, if you can be moved so easily out of church because of this or that, I'm just telling you right now, it's your fault. You're the reason it gets closed down. Because God will still take care of those who care. I'm not holding back. And I'm not holding back because I want to hurt you. I'm holding back because I don't want the work of God hurt, and I won't allow it to be. People who profess are connected to this church and then never show up, you're not connected. You're not connected. If you can't show up, if you can't so much as give an offering, you're not connected. It's just the truth. Why? Because we're not doing it to build some kind of ministry. Either you're called. Be connected where you're called. But if you're not showing up, if you're not being part, if you're just coming when you, oh, I just needed this. You know what you needed? You needed to be there for the other people that needed you the rest of the time. Because we all need each other. You know why I was almost moved to tears when you were coming in here? Because the realization of how I need all of you. When I stand in this pulpit and there's nobody out there, my heart is, it's like it's been torn out of me. Because I all in my life as well. We do this together. This is a ministry. We are. And when part of the body is missing, the rest of the body hurts. It's just the truth. Jesus was moved by tears, was moved by compassion, because the people were like sheep having no shepherd. And so what did he do? The first thing he did when he conquered the grave was he said, I'm giving you a shepherd. I'll give you a shepherd, lead you and guide you in your life to take you where you need to be, because he was so moved with compassion. And people look at that scripture and they say, what does it matter? What's it matter? We don't need all that. Listen, I don't want to be a pastor. Truth be told, I didn't want to sign up for it. Sometimes I look at it and I say, Lord, are you sure? Because I can draw pictures, I can build frames, I can do things. I can do other things. It's not that I like it when people like me. And when they don't, I like it when I can avoid them. You know what I mean? But God's like, here, I'm going to give you a bunch of people. Some of them will like you for a while, and then they'll talk bad about you. Some of them will hate you. And I'm like, Lord, are you sure? And like, who was I to lead? I don't sign up for it. I'm not trying to build some kind of worship Jeff kind of group. I don't care about all that. I don't want your worship. I don't. I feel awkward when people even say to me, oh, that was a good sermon. I feel awkward even by that. I don't want to be told. Sometimes I just want to be left alone. But that's not what God has called us to. Praise the Lord. We do it because we love God, because we see that he's got purpose in it. And the one thing I know is there's several of you in here that when you've sat in here and the Lord has told me, you can help their life if they'll follow you. You can. There's people that's not in here today, probably because they didn't know. But the Lord has told me you can help their life if they'll listen, if they will follow you. And why is he telling me that? Not because I can make them follow, but because I can keep going at it. Because when they look at me and they say, yeah, I don't want that, I keep trying. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But folks, this isn't just about me. This is about what we are called to do. This God has planted this church here to change this town. And when this town can look at a Memorial Day party and say, that's fine, we'll leave it alone. But the church, see, because the governor can say whatever he wants to do. But if the church stands up and says, it ain't changing, we don't care what you do, praise the Lord, then we'll have the back. I am not saying that we just, you know, because the Bible does tell us and direct to follow the, thank you, that, to follow, you know, the laws of the land. And he told us to do so in a time period that was maybe the worst government that has ever existed. Worse than ours. Way worse than ours. But, you know, it's not wrong to follow it until it goes against your conscience, of course. The founding fathers, and I wanted to say this, and I want to just give you an example, just so you see. The founding fathers knew that it was necessary to have the right to freely seek God. And they did so much that the First Amendment of the Constitution, it's placed in there, right at the top of it all, right? The right to peacefully assemble, but the right to not have the government influence your religion, your faith, and how, and to make no law that keeps you from doing so freely. Amen. But now what do we see about whenever we hear about the forefathers, the founding fathers of this country, we hear that they were racists and that they stole the land from this people. We hear all these people who are living on the land, by the way. And, you know, they stole the land from this people, and those people were rotten. Now, listen, people always do people things which aren't good. In any society, you're going to find it. I don't care what color it is. I don't care what, you're going to find racism. There are tribes of people that look exactly the same but fight each other because they're different bloodlines. And they kill each other because they're different bloodlines. They hate each other. There's genocide, real genocide happening in the world. You know, we talk about the Jews. 6 million Jews were exterminated outwardly because they were Jews. That's systemic racism. I'm not trying to get political, but I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not saying that racism doesn't exist. Of course it does. But listen, everything that came before wasn't bad. And the reasons for the founding of this country have given us the rights to do the things that we do. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But when it's taught that it's bad, what it's over and over, it's getting in the minds of people and it's affecting their thoughts to start thinking, well, this, if this stuff is wrong, then this stuff is wrong. And if that's wrong, then this is wrong. And then they start putting all the things that aren't wrong as wrong. They're calling what is good wrong. Praise the Lord. And the Bible seems to talk about this in the end times, that the people will call they'll call right wrong and right wrong right. And that's exactly what we have going on here. We got to protect eagle eggs, but we can kill babies. Yeah, you got to protect the eagle egg because, you know, but the babies, it doesn't matter about them. Because they ain't nothing until, well, now they're not even nothing when they're laying on the table breathing. Because now some of them, including our wonderful governor, wants to pass, was the first, jumped on that bandwagon. Why do you think New York is the worst? Yeah, of this attack. Think about that. Didn't he just pass a law about killing babies? Like, even, I mean, didn't they even want to kill babies even onto the table when they're born? I mean, it's one thing. I'm not justifying it any. It's horrific and terrible, even in the early stages of pregnancy. But you have. And they're saying that you can look at that and kill that? That's disgusting. That's wrong. And you can't ever justify that, no matter what woman's rights, because no woman has a right to destroy that. And if you believe opposite, I don't care. Go somewhere else. Go somewhere that believes in line with your twisted thinking, because you're going to receive hell just like everyone else does. I'm just telling you the truth. You can't take a precious child and think that you can just destroy it, and not even humanity. Eagle egg, and they'll come down on you. They'll stop whole building projects because of a certain kind of microscopic shrimp that are in the ground. But God forbid, God forbid you do that. But then a baby that you named, that can come you and, oh, praise God. As a blessing for the people of created the local church as a blessing for the people of God. We can't just shun these things and think that they don't matter. And we can't allow others. What I mean by that is I don't mean we have to protest. But I mean we have to learn to be led by the Spirit and live as Christians are supposed to live. When we do those two things, we'll know exactly what to do, when to do it. Praise the Lord. The devil has got people so deceived that they will throw it all away. Praise the Lord. But we are going to be different because Romans 12:1, just preach time away. We know Romans 12:1. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yes, we have to be, we got to stop conforming to this world. I'm just telling you the truth, and I'm convicted of it. I got to get better at it, got to get it under control, but I have a tendency to want to get back on the news and back on the news and back in this if you can see what this says and see, listen to what someone else says here and watch a video over here, but all that it does is it's getting in our mind and getting in our mind, and what we're doing is renewing our minds to the wrong thing. Yes, it's wrong. You know it's wrong. Great. Praise the Lord. It's wrong. There's lots of bad stuff happening. Great. But it doesn't do us any good to focus on that. What will truly change the world, and the world hates us to even say this, but what will change the world is prayer. What will change the world is Christians seeking God. What will change the world is people living right. That will change the world because that's what always changed the world. What was, when Christianity had an effect on people, it was because they did what God wanted them to do. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Instead of looking at what God gave or gives people, focus entirely on what goes on around them. Or, I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We get focused on what goes around, entirely on what goes around us, instead of what God is doing within us, what God is trying to do on the inside of us. We get focused on, we should, obviously, it's bad when the church closes. We should focus on those things. But instead of focusing on why the pastor closed the church, let's focus on why the church is closed. Why does the pastor even have to make that decision? Because, see, the root of the problem is not that the pastor closed the church. The root of the problem is, why is that decision even being made now? Why does that decision even, why does that even have to be something among us? In a country where we said that nothing will stop the free exercise of your religion, why is there something? Why have we gotten to a point? And the question, the answer is not far from you and me. Praise the Lord. Have we been the church? Have we been hungering and thirsting for it? Have we been desiring? We love talking about revival because we love these ideas of all these great and wonderful things, but the last day church is marked by apostasy, about people falling away, leaving the faith. We see that on TV, one Christian after another just renouncing their faith. Christian bands, famous Christian bands, leaders, I don't believe it anymore. Or they stop believing the things that were truth. I've seen lots of Christians, famous Christians, do that. That's why I'm telling you right now, if I was a parent, the last thing I would lead my kid into doing is anything that makes them famous. I'm just telling you the truth, because there's a lot of evil out there. We need to be different. Instead of going with everything the world says, we need to determine, I will think right, in line with the Word of God, and I will not be moved off course. I'm not going to be changed. You can give your policies, you say whatever you want, but I'm not going to be changed. I've used this example. I'm not saying that our president is a saint, but I'm going to tell you right now, I've watched Christian after Christian saying horrible things about our president, but I keep seeing this man making decisions that benefit the church, and I think, you need to open your eyes. You need to open your spiritual eyes and look at what this guy is honestly doing. I mean, I'm just telling you right now, if we had a president right now that was more in line with our governor, do you want to know what would be happening? We wouldn't be sitting here today. And we probably wouldn't be sitting here at the threat of armed people out there. That's the truth, because they want to shut down the churches. Have you noticed that? Again, it's a long, all this stuff has been along, it's along party lines. It isn't even about black and white anymore. It's about Republican or Democrat. Well, if you speak the truth, we don't even want to hear you, because it's not in line with what we want to believe. And so people are glory to God. I mean, we can all, listen, we can all get off a little bit, especially if we're not in church. And I'll just tell you the truth. I've felt it too. One of the things that's highly suggested for me on my board, in our bylaws and everything, is that I get away to a certain number of meetings, at least a certain number of meetings every year. Well, there's already been two meetings this year that I couldn't get away to. And I'll just give you an example of what it is for us. When we get away, it's not going on a vacation. We do not go on vacation to these meetings. If we did, we wouldn't go to the meetings, because that's not vacation. But we do go to get rest. We go to get knowledge. We go to get impartations, just as you receive. Have you noticed not being in church, something feels different? Even though you've been sitting in the parking lot and you've been hearing and maybe you've been reading more and listening, but you notice something's just a little different? That's what's called the impartation. The impartation comes from being in the presence. We call it the corporate anointing. Sometimes there's lots of different names given to it. But it's the truth of the word of God that there are impartations. Paul said, I long to see you that I may impart something into you, praise the Lord. And then right before we're told not to fear, he says to stir up the gift of God that is in you. The gift of God that is in you through what? The laying on of my hands, which is an impartation into your life. Amen. Glory to God. And so we understand that the reason you've been feeling it is because, and now if you're sitting there saying, well, I didn't feel nothing, you better check your spiritual pulse. Praise the Lord. Because if you didn't feel nothing by not getting it, being in church, there are some people that call themselves Christians. They're just like, well, we're doing fine. We met one. She's like, oh, wait, but it's actually kind of nice. We got other people on the Christian radio, stinky Christian radio. God bless them. But they're on there saying, well, the good thing about this is now you can just go kind of go church shopping. Well, yeah, because that's what God told you to do. Right? That's called the wisdom of man, winds of doctrine, that's lies from the devil. Well, praise the Lord. But what I'm saying is I felt it. I felt the not being in these meetings. Like my wife was just saying to me, she's like, you need to get in a meeting. She's starting to recognize, you know, you're getting a little bit goofy. Praise the Lord. We'll all make it to the other side, but I'll just tell you the truth. That's why these rogue churches, they get goofy. They get off. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We have no time left. I went way over, but praise the Lord. I think that's a good place to end. I hope you're stirred. I hope you're excited for the things of God. Do not, if you are corrected today, I'm just going to end with this. If you've been corrected today, do not get into self-condemnation unless you're not going to change. Yeah. Then if you're not going to change, start condemning yourself quickly. Because maybe that will get you to do what's right. You gotta change. We're all called to change. Don't be, you know, listen. If you didn't change your underwear every day, things would stink, wouldn't they? Even if you wash yourself every single day, eventually those underwear are not going to smell good. Christians are the same way when they don't change. They're like stinky underwear that never get changed. You go wash on the outside, but something's smelling underneath. You know what I'm saying? So let's just, folks, we just got to stay right. We got to be right. We got to continue on with what's right, because God loves us. He's here for us, and we will get through to the other side.